Again, good morning to see everyone here this morning. Again, it's good to be back in the cold of Kentucky. That warm weather is just for wimps, I guess. But we are glad to be back. And again, it's neat what God shows you when you get out of your little... God loves us. Do you know that? And just go outside your comfort zone. Go to some place where you don't go every day and see and look at people and the depravity of people. And saw a T-shirt on the ship that kind of got my mind. It had some owls sitting on a branch, and two owls here. Then the third owl was upside down. It says, "Dare to be different." Of course, that shirt was to promote the depravity of man. To be nowhere in Scripture does it say to celebrate Jesus' birth. See, what we've done, we've... Because I don't want to put people in the situation where they do something different than they normally do. And that's what I'm doing by allowing service next Sunday, because we'll have people come that don't have a clue and been deceived. They're not true believers. They're not true worshipers of God. But they'll show up, and this is wrong. Of the year, more important than every Sunday that we come into this place to worship Him. And I'm sorry, maybe it's time for a different preacher. Maybe it's time for a change, because I cannot go against God's word and God's truth. And if next Sunday means more to you than this Sunday, then I'm sorry, you've been deceived. The fact that He allows us to come and worship Him, and to fear Him, and to praise Him, and to glorify Him. Oh my, how this world has been deceived. You know, you see the depravity of man, and cuss words just as a normal language. You know, and people, body piercing, hair, purple, green, blue, black, you know, just all different kind of color. I mean, just people, the way they dress. Man's in trouble. And God has defined that in Scripture. And yet we're in that age of apostasy where nobody really cares. That we have fallen away from the truth of God. And so when someone stands up and tells about truth, then they're an old fuddy-duddy. They're a Debbie Downer. Celebrate Christmas. But by George, don't try to make it a religious day. It's no different than next Sunday, and the next Sunday, and the next Sunday. And we make such a hype about next Sunday that we're fooling people. Let's pray and ask God to reveal Himself to us. Most Heavenly Father God, You are holy. And Father, we present You this morning as holy. You see, there's no one like You. And Father, Your love is incredibly amazing to me as I spent a week on that cruise ship and watched people and even watched myself as the fact that a love that cannot be defined, that You would give Yourself in the form of Your Son, take on human flesh, suffer, so that we might be reconciled back to You. That we might cleanse ourselves of our evil deeds and our sin and be an instrument, that vessel of honorable use. Father, open up Your word now that we might hear You, Father. Because if we don't get the revelation from You, it doesn't matter. We can't get this. In Your name that we pray, amen. Get your Bibles this morning, turn to John chapter 1. I love how John starts out. You know, Genesis starts out, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then here we have the beginning of the reality and what real life is about. See, we think the natural birth is living, when the Bible says the natural birth is actually the man is dead, because there's no spirit of God in him. We're not alive till the spirit of God is within us. And so John begins... He says, in the beginning was the Word. You know, and you look at Genesis, and the Word was with God. The Jesus was there at creation. He wasn't born. I mean, just because he became evident as a man, he was there. Jesus, this is on his birthday, whenever it was, not December 25th, by the way. He existed way before then. Okay? But he had a purpose, and God had chosen him for a purpose. In the beginning was the Word. So the Word is a person. Okay? We have written words, but the Word of God is alive and well and sitting at the right hand of him, of where he sits. And of course, he left the written word, but in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word is God. So again, the deity of Christ, the Trinity there is that. So when Jesus came and Jesus would say, "You've seen me, you've seen the Father," this is what he was talking about, is that I am that representation of the Father. I am God, but I'm God in the flesh, in the form of his Son. So explaining the Trinity. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him, and apart from him nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life. You see, when your mother gives you birth, that's a physical life. It's not life. We have to define what life is. Man was created to worship God, was to be in union with God, with no sin in him. And when that all got messed up in the garden, and we fell from grace in the garden, then God reconciled us back to himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that is what he's talking about when he says he's life. See, this world doesn't understand what life is. You know, life is electronics and sports and vacations and all those things that we can gather. That's what life is, right? And you go through life and you gather as much of this stuff and experience as much of this stuff as you can, and therefore, that is life. Well, Bible defines life a lot differently. It says you were born dead in your trespasses of sin, so you're actually born separated from God, and you have no real life. You see, God came and sent Jesus for an eternal purpose, not a earthly purpose. Jesus had no earthly purpose other than to shed light on the eternal purpose. He was here for a very short period of time to accomplish the work that God had sent him. So in him was life. This is verse 4. And the life was the light of men. So basically we're born in darkness, and the light was to shine on our darkness and to remove the darkness out of our life was the purpose. So the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So we have to understand that he's making a very bold statement here that we can't comprehend this. In the human flesh, in the human mind, the human body that's born dead in trespasses of sin, separated from God, cannot comprehend this. Okay? And he proved it. John was just telling us, you know, as an outlook of what was going to happen. He's not going to comprehend it at all. And of course, we know the history of Christ, and the world did not comprehend him. Only those that were revealed by God allowed them to come and know Jesus. The light shines in darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. And then let's skip down to 14. And the Word became flesh. Okay. Y'all want your Christmas message, so we'll give the Christmas message. We'll start it today. The Word became flesh. Okay? How did that Word become flesh? We'll look in just a minute in Isaiah and see how it became flesh, because Isaiah predicted it way before it happened. God told about it way before it happened. So this Word that was with God became flesh so that you and I could, people could actually see God. Not that anyone has seen God himself, but they could actually see God in the form of Jesus Christ. Jesus was the perfect replication of who God was. It just he was happened to be in the flesh. So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory. And the glory and the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. He came to bring grace. He came to bring mercy. He came to do away with the evil deeds. He came with the deeds of the devil. He came to abolish those, to do away with sin. So many purposes that Jesus accomplished in his short period of time here. But he was full of grace and truth. So what is truth? Truth is that hard stuff that we don't want to hear. See, we want it to be something different. And when we hear truth, do we embrace that truth and do we act upon that truth, or do we defend what we believe? I was never to defend what I believe. I was just told what to believe and not to defend it, but to live it. And that's the whole purpose, is him becoming flesh and dwelling among us, is so that we would see what righteousness is. Because there was no way, because it says we were in darkness, right? So we were in darkness means that we couldn't see. So if we can't see until there's a light, so Jesus was the light that allows us now to see. What did God want us to see? That we were separated from him by sin. That's the whole purpose of Jesus coming, was so that you and I would know that we were in sin. Because we didn't know that we were in sin. These people on the cruise ship, they don't know that they're in sin. A lot of them don't. The world doesn't know. I mean, we're talking about people from I don't know how many different nations were on that cruise ship. But they were all the same in their depravity. It was amazing. Didn't matter what nation they came from. We were all the same. He became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and cried out, saying, "This is he of whom I've said, he who comes after me is higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For all his fullness," and then we just heard that he was born 6 months earlier, or 3 months earlier than Jesus was, right? She was 6 months along when Jesus was conceived. So here you have John saying, wait a minute, he came before me. He existed way before me. I'm just the forerunner. I'm just preparing the way for the world to see something they've never seen before. For all his fullness we have received in grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth we realize through Christ. Have you ever thought of why it says grace and truth together? Have you ever thought about that? Because when you read about truth, you're going to understand why you need grace. Isn't that amazing? How we sometimes skip over those little things, that the reason he put grace and truth there, because as soon as you figure out truth, you're going to realize, wow, look at the grace of God. Because now I realize truth. For no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is from the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. So Jesus explains the Father. He not only represents the Father, but he also explains the Father. And the Father explains him. It's kind of a two-way street here. No one can come to the Father that the Father doesn't grant. That you got to have permission. You have to have permission to come to Jesus Christ. Did you know that? No one comes to me, Jesus said, that's not granted by the Father. We've never taught that you have to have permission by God to come to Jesus Christ. Think about that for a minute. What have we always heard? Just come when you get ready, right? You have to have permission from God to come to Jesus Christ. And if you don't get that permission, then whatever else you have, you don't have truth. Let's look at Isaiah 9, 1 through 7. This is what's amazing, where people will believe anything but Scripture. Here, Isaiah was written thousands of years before, and it says, it predicts the birth, this miraculous birth. The world's going to see something that they've never seen before. They're going to meet an individual that is just totally throws all human rationale out of the window. But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish in earlier times. He treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt, but later on he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea and the other side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. So again, Isaiah is getting ready to prophesy. He's getting ready to predict the nation of Israel's been divided. You got two different kingdoms. Just not a good state. It mentions the Gentiles here because Jesus is for everyone, even though he came to save his people from their sins. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. This is a prediction, that, and of course we just read in John, men were in darkness and Jesus was the light for the darkness. Isn't that amazing? Thousands of years apart written. We will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nations. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence and as the gladness of harvests. As men rejoice when they divide the spoil. So it says when Jesus comes, it's going to be a glorious time. So what the world has had to do is to change the purpose of Jesus so we could maintain that glorious time. See, the world tells us that when Jesus came, he's going to take us all to heaven. And he died so that we could all go to heaven. And that's not the joy he's talking about here. The joy is being relieved from that burden of sin in your life. Being able to say no to the world. Being able to wear white in the winter. I'm telling you, folks, we have allowed this world to dictate so much of our life as children of God. And this is, we talked about in Sunday school, how do we do what this king did when he took the instruments of God and used them for his own purpose, his common purpose. And so we're God's instruments. We're his vessels. It says we are. It says that there's vessels of honorable use and vessels for wrath. And to be that honorable vessel, we have to be cleansing ourselves at all times from the evil that we were born in, right? And so how do we, the question was asked, how do we do that same thing in this world today, you know? If we're the temple of God and we are the body of Christ, and this is what people see, then are we not in charge to take care of that body? Are we not in charge how we represent ourselves to the world? Are we not, is that not our charge? You see, it doesn't stop at just going to heaven. Oh, I've been saved. I went to church. I got baptized. I said a prayer. I forget where was that. Was it on the ship we saw that or somewhere? Billy Graham's son was, say this prayer with me, and he said a little prayer, and he said, if you prayed that prayer, then call this number. Whoa, got to call that number. They got a number to heaven. Did you know that? Call that number. I guess you get to talk to God. I guess I don't know. How many people prayed that prayer? How many people were just down on their luck and prayed that prayer, and they're going to die and go to hell? Because they have been deceived by modern-day religion. Jesus came to set all this straight. He came to bring the light to the world so that you would know clearly you can't do nothing about the state that you're in. And you can't come to him unless it's granted by God. Therefore, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Not at some Bible camp where you had a good time, played games. That ain't how it happens, folks. It's not how it happens. But we live in now in a generation that was raised up in that era of Billy Graham. And you just say a prayer, and guess what? Welcome to the family of God. And now we're reaping the consequences of that. And now we're having generations that are now teaching false scripture, false truth about Jesus Christ. And Jesus came to set things straight. He came to set things and say, now you're going to be held accountable because I have come, I have spoken, and I have left it written. Thus saith the Lord. He goes on to say, men will rejoice when they divide the spoil, for you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff off their shoulders. See, man is born with a yoke, with a burden. We are imprisoned by the sin, our will, our nature. And the only way it can be broken is through a new birth. Just as Jesus was born of God, you have to be born of God. And if you're not born of God, then you're not a child of God. Saying a prayer does not give you a new birth experience. Receiving the Holy Spirit gives you a new birth experience. The rod of their oppressors, as at the battle of Midian, for every boot of the booted warrior in the battle turmoil, and cloak rolled in blood will be for burning fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. What? Did I read that right? Yeah. It says a government will rest on his shoulders. Our government does not dictate what's right and what's wrong. It's the other way around. God dictates to the government. God dictates to us what's right and what's wrong. Jesus Christ came to seal that the government would rest upon his shoulders. So therefore, our government should be seeking the will and the statutes and the commandments of Almighty God. And our government's not doing that. It says his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. What's a counselor for? Why do you go to a counselor? To get advice. So, where should we get our advice? It says he's a wonderful counselor. Well, he doesn't have a PhD on the wall. Sorry about that. In reality, and you're not going to like what I'm about to say because I know counselors do good, but in reality, we don't need those counselors. The reason we have so many counselors is because we're so messed up. And the reason we're so messed up is because we have not truly understood and know what the scriptures say. We've allowed men to tell us what it says, and then we try to practice it in the flesh, and then that's what gets us in turmoil, and now we need a counselor. Someone to explain it, my life to me. If you go into a counselor and your counselor's not pulling out scripture and reading and having basically a wonderful worship time with you in the counseling session, get you a new counselor. Because he cannot give you any wisdom or any help that's going to help you Do we not understand that this is the only thing that can help us? This is the only thing that matters. And yet it's the last thing we go to because we don't want to hear the truth of what we are and why we're in the situation that we're in. No, give me that God that doesn't matter how I live, doesn't matter what I think, doesn't matter what I do, gets me out of every situation I'm in. That is not what I just read. That God does not exist. He's eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There is no end to his increase of his government or his peace. On the throne of David, over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness, for then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish. How does this get accomplished? God accomplishes it. We don't accomplish it. I can't give you what I got. I can show you how to get what I got. But you're not going to like the process by what you got to go through to get what I got. There's got to be some effort put forth. Yet we want God to be there at every prayer, every call. Someone's got cancer. Let's all, everybody get on the prayer chain going. Let's get that prayer chain going. Huh? Why don't we have the prayer chain going for those that are lost? Not those that are sick, but those that are spiritually lost. Why don't we have a prayer chain going for those? But if you're physically sick, you get on the prayer chain. But when you're spiritually sick, you're good. I think we've got it all backwards. I think we've got it all messed up. Man has made a protocol for Christianity, and we have fallen into that deception, and we no longer pray for the lost. We only pray for if you got cancer. Praying people out of heaven. Keep them here, Lord. There's worse things than dying, and that's living a life contrary to Almighty God and the wrath of God upon your life. But we don't pray for people that are lost. We don't put them on a prayer chain. Only if you're sick. Our physical is so much more important than our spiritual. Philippians 2, 3 through 11. It says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind. Regard one another as more important than yourselves. This is not an option. Humility, as we talked about in Sunday school, is not, oh, poor pitiful me. But it's a realization of who I am in the eyes of God. See, it's that grace and truth that humbles me. And then his mercy sustains me. And then I walk by faith. And I get faith from hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Do nothing from selfishness. Empty conceit. Regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. So when Jesus took on that human form, he lowered himself. He was no longer equal with God. He no longer understood that because he was now limited. Did you realize Jesus was limited? He could be in all places at one time. God can. He wasn't all-knowing. Jesus didn't know anything more than what God allowed him to know. Jesus even says that himself. Jesus was very limited. And yet we make such a big deal about his birth. I think it's a bigger deal the fact that Jesus raised him from the dead, and then he allowed me to be able to come to him. I think that's a bigger deal. I always read this sign as I go to work. It says, Jesus is the reason for the season, and I cringe at that. That's a lie. That's a lie. Jesus is not the reason for the season. You are. You are the reason for the season. He wasn't born by God. By a virgin. He could not have lived the sinless life that he had to live to fulfill God's laws. He could not have been the perfect Lamb of God. He could have not been the sacrifice. But even in doing all of that, until he was raised, which showed God's approval, you and I were still hopelessly, helplessly lost until that happened. Wow. He emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man. That's something to celebrate every Sunday. That's something we got to understand. This has got to be celebrated every Sunday. Those folks that are going to come next Sunday aren't going to like what they hear. So guard your loved ones about coming next Sunday, because I have the responsibility to tell them that their life, they've been deceived. That's what a preacher does, is tell truth. I'll also share the grace, and I'll also share the mercy. But guard your loved one. Maybe you might want to go to a different church, because it's going to be the same message next Sunday as this Sunday, as it was, I don't know, I'm sure it was last Sunday. I wouldn't have put Brian there. And the Sunday before, and the Sunday before. It's going to be the same message. If you want the frills of the season, I suggest you go to a different church. Go to a different worship. Because I cannot go against what God has convicted my heart. I cannot go against what God has told me about this season and about all these other stuff that we do and deceives people into thinking that they're okay with God and they're not. Because I would rather you be mad at me now, because when you stand and hear the words that God puts in my mouth to speak to you, you are held accountable. And that's all I can do. As a preacher, that's all I can do, is give you truth. And I do it because I love you. I don't do it because I'm making a lot of money at doing this. Matter of fact, I don't think I make anything at doing this. God has put a burden upon my heart for those that are lost. He put a bigger burden on my heart for those that are sitting in church that think they're saved and they're lost. Because see, that's where I once was. See, religious people get real uncomfortable right about now. They start defending their salvation instead of just thanking God for their salvation. God is the one that told me I'm His. And that's why I come to worship. Because without Him, I'm nothing.